Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And as I said so many times, we're always happy when we come to the end of the week and so we can meet our friends and loved ones that we don't see and won't see in this world. Well, we'll see you over there if you're trusting Jesus. And I know there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus. And so we're just praying every time we have a service, the male multitudes will come to Jesus and just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and please take them away, and I'll follow you the best I can, and you'll be a child of God, and then you can worship with us." Well, we're going to be looking at the anchor of the soul, and the soul is the person, and it talks about the security we have in Jesus. So we're looking at Proverbs 103 as our opening scripture. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth." And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that as a father pitieth his children, so you pity those of us who love you and trust you. And we just thank you that you know all about us. Oh, you know all about creation and made all of the things, and you made the stars and the sand by the sea. And yet you're mindful of each one of us. You know our names, and you know that you have the hairs of our head numbered. And so we thank you that you love us and you're so close to us. Pray in our service today, Lord, that many will come to put their faith in you. Pray that everything we do and say will honor Jesus. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, "Over in the Glory Land." And God bless you, Jan.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you, Jan. We got to say amen to that. If you can't say amen to that, you got problems, brother, sister. And may you just stay with us. Maybe we can iron some of them out. That's heaven. Oh, I tell you, I got a lot of people. When you get to be 98, I got more over there than I got over here. And one nice thing about being 98, I don't have any enemies anymore. They all died. So here I am, just happy as I can be. And so we'll see if God, we'll see what happens when we get there. But we're going to look at, be thinking about the anchor of the soul. And that is, it's a security, the wonderful security. It can't be lost, can't lose your soul. Once it's saved, now if you don't come to Jesus, it's lost already. But you can have your soul, you can be born again into the kingdom of God. Well, we'll get there. But let's look at some of our letters, first of all. First one we have is Sturgis, South Dakota. And this is out in the Black Hills. I was raised at Belle Fouche, just a little ways from Sturgis, and that's wonderful country. And if you haven't visited, you ought to see it. It's just great. Well, anyway, from Sturgis, from the jail. And he said, this young man writes and says, I am currently in Meade County Jail. Your service has hits home and is amazing. And listen to this. He says, I gave Jesus my life 3 weeks ago. It was the best decision of my life. I love your prayers and what you talk about. Thank you so much for praying for me. Well, we sent this dear brother some literature. And he says it's the best decision of his life. He's exactly right. The most important thing you're ever going to have a decision about is your soul. When you die, your soul is going to be in heaven or in hell. And you're the one that decides. God doesn't decide and say this one here and that one there. That's a false teaching. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. It came somewhere else. And so you decide. And God says, I'm not willing that any should perish. I want all to come to repentance. I want all to come to me. I'm not willing that anybody go to hell. And you have to make that decision, you see, because he can't make it for you. Say yes, and then you pray for Jesus. We send this young man some literature, and I bet he'll become a great servant of the Lord. Here's Tucson, Arizona. I'm deaf. I'm 60 years old. I enjoy watching you and listening about the Word of God from you on television with my caption for the deaf. I thank God for you. Keep sharing God's Word. So we're glad that they have closed caption. And when I was a child, they didn't have closed caption. You know what? Didn't even have television. Because I come not from, I don't come from a different generation. I come from a different century. And so I've been around for a while and seen things, and I see how society's going, and it's going bad. It's going bad. They're putting God out of the picture. And I hope they'll make a turn. I don't know. They're pretty set in their ways. And so here's from writing then from Waldeport, Oregon. Thank you once again for your ministry. May our Heavenly Father bless you and your wonderful staff now and always. Thank you for always reminding us to pray for the persecuted church. And we do every week. We pray for a different country that's be under persecution. And you know what I love? We're on television all over the world. And we're also on shortwave radio, and it covers 90% of the world's population. And that means that we have the persecuted church is worshiping with us. And we do everything we can to encourage them, and I'm going to tell you, they encourage me. When I hear how they stand up under pressure, and they don't give in, and they love Jesus, and they witness for Jesus. And those five or six young men have taken out with hoods on their head and kneeling down. And they're supposed to say, tell them what to say. And they all say in Arabic, God is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And they're beheaded. So we pray for the persecuted church, and won't that be wonderful to see those men and women that have died for you, that wear the martyr's crown. I'll never get that. I'll probably get a skull cap, but they wear the martyr's crown. Oh, I admire them so much. Well, we worship with them. They worship with us. Here is a letter from a man, and it's in the middle United States, and I'm not giving any. I don't need to give the state because it's not necessary. But he has a story I want you to listen to. And he really is telling us, giving us a lesson here. And he says this: many years ago, my then girlfriend told me she was pregnant. She didn't want to have the baby. But for the moment I saw the results of her home pregnancy test, I loved my child. Even before I knew whether it was a boy or a girl, I loved that child. I thank God that we decided to keep that baby. Unfortunately, my ex had no mothering instincts, so I raised our son by myself from the time he was a few weeks old. No, it wasn't easy, but I cannot imagine anything more fulfilling than watching my boy grow into a now 35-year-old man of God. I'm enclosing a gift to honor my precious son and his life, which was almost before his birth, and also a memorial for the many babies who are never allowed to be born. Isn't that a beautiful letter? This man loved that baby before he was born, didn't know it was a boy or girl, but I'm going to raise that child. And God bless him, and God will honor him, I'm going to tell you that. And then he goes on and says, I'm making a memorial for the many babies who never allowed to be born. How sad, how wicked. And I just want to stop right this minute and tell you this. If you've had an abortion, you go to Jesus. You ask Jesus to forgive you. Tell him that you're sorry for your sin. You ask Jesus to forgive you, and he'll take away your sin, and you'll go to heaven. And I don't care I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how it happened. I just know this. There's forgiveness with God. You can start again. Get to Jesus. Ask for forgiveness. And that's a wonderful story, I think. Here's a letter now from Fargo, North Dakota. It says, thank you for your weekly messages. My 25-year-old daughter loves to watch your program. We appreciate your faithfulness, and I pray for your health. You bring a strong message even to the younger audience. Well, we preach so that anybody can understand, even the little children. Children can understand. And don't call them kids. Kids mean that a kid means it's a baby goat. But this is the children have a soul, a precious soul. They're precious in God's sight. They're not an animal. They're a human being. Don't call them kids. Call them children. And so we just rejoice that this lady, no matter what your age, you can get something out of the messages, because we're preaching the Bible so that the children can understand. Everybody can understand. Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you, Pastor, for opening my blind eyes to see the truth. And he says, the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that the devil has your eyes blinded, your spiritual eyes, not your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes? And he doesn't want you to see the glorious gospel. He wants to keep you in his kingdom of darkness. That's what we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so here it is. You're in the kingdom of Satan's kingdom is darkness. Once you come to the age of accountability, then you have to decide, I want Jesus or I want the devil. And you belong to the devil until you call in the name of the Jesus, because your eyes are blinded. But the light of the world is Jesus. He'll shine through it. He'll penetrate that into your heart. And when that voice comes, or not an audible voice, but just you just got a feeling, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I want him in my heart. And you just pray, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my heart, take them away, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you need to do. And then you write to us. We'll send you some literature. Now, here's an interesting letter. And this comes from address unknown. Sometimes I get letters, and they don't put their address on them. Well, I read them because I want to know maybe, you know, there's something I should preach about or something I should be talking about or thinking about. And so I read this letter, and it says, and this is what they write. I'm curious to know if you believe in the rapture. Some TV pastors talk about it all the time. Other churches don't. What do you believe? I don't know where to stand on it. I guess it doesn't affect my salvation. Well, here's the thing. When you get the word rapture, it isn't in the Bible. But the action is there. The event is there. And the event is this. It means taking out, taking away. And it means this. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take all the Christians out of the world. Those that are dead, he's going to raise. Those that are alive, he's going to change and bring with him. And that's called the rapture. The unrighteous, those who don't trust Jesus, their resurrection is going to be later on. But this is just for Christians. And I'll tell you where you read it in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the rapture. And if your pastor or your friends don't know about it because they don't read the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, read the Bible. See what God has to say. He'll have the answer every time. One more. I have to read one more. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I have your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd. It's the best movie I've ever watched. I gave a copy to my daughter, my son, and granddaughter. God bless you and your staff for the wonderful hour every Sunday morning. And so the Heart of a Shepherd is a movie we made. It's 52 minutes in length. It is an evangelical movie. It's an evangelistic movie on how to accept Jesus. It's for all ages. The children come and watch it. And the children love it and see it. And so you just write to us if you want to get it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the address now. You write, we send it on a free will offering basis. And I know what you're saying. Well, if you send it free, how do you ever get along? Oh, we just tell people that we need help. We're not underwritten by any church or organization or institution. It's just God's people. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we're underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so it's all accounted for. I'll give the address again at the close of the service, but you pray and you think what you want to get and what you want to give, and God bless you. So now Jan has a piano solo, and then we'll have our scripture lesson. God bless you, Jan. Thank you. Well, God bless you, Jan. It just makes me want to get to heaven and see heaven. Can't wait to get there. Well, in 98, I won't have to wait forever, I guess. But we'll just keep going until he blows a whistle or until he calls me, or I don't know what he'll do. But he'll do the right thing, and I'm ready, and I'm excited about it, and seeing my loved ones, seeing Jesus, and oh, yeah, and I want to see you in heaven. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted Jesus, I'll pray that you'll do that during this service, because you need to have Jesus. And if you take Jesus as your Savior, I'll see you in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. Well, we want to read from Hebrews chapter 6 today. And if you have your Bibles, get to chapter 6 and verse 13. If you're looking in the Old Testament, you better go a little farther and you'll get there. I'm just kidding. I know you know where Hebrews is. And so get that and we'll read it together. Hebrews 6, starting with the 13th verse. And then in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in India. But this is what the writer has. He starts with verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of the counsel, confirmed it by an oath, not by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how happy we are that we can come to worship you and that we have your wonderful word, the word of God. Oh, we just thank you that you are so mindful of us, that you reveal that from heaven. We had never would have that, your word. We wouldn't know what you were thinking and what you were teaching and how you were. We wouldn't know a thing about you unless you revealed it through holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we have the word of God, the Bible. And that Bible will never fail us. And now, Lord, we're thinking about the anchor of the soul, that our soul is safe and secure because we have an anchor, and that anchor is Jesus, the holy, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. We love him so much, and we depend on him because he's totally reliable. Lord, we're praying now for the persecuted church in India. It's just we're so sorry that they're going through those times, Lord. We know that many of them give up their lives, and we know have their homes destroyed, and sometimes their churches, and sometimes the children can't find their parents, and the parents can't find the children, and they don't know where they're at, and oh God, the heart must ache, and your heart must ache, but we know there's sin in the world, dear God, and it's going to be until your son comes and puts an end to it, and so until that time, we just trust you and love you and get the word to everybody we possibly can so they'll come to Jesus. We pray now you'll bless us in this service. We'll honor your son. Bless us in this service that all we'll hear about is Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. And Hank is going to sing now, Jesus Takes My Burdens All Away. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Jesus takes my burdens away, all the troubles of every day. Every night when I pray, Jesus takes my burdens away.
In my life, I've had many cares. Seems like troubles are always there.
But I found the dearest friend. He'll be with me till the end. Jesus takes troubles of every day, every night when I pray. Jesus takes my burdens away.
I've learned a lesson well, greater than any tongue can tell. I don't have to carry burdens around. I go to Jesus and I lay them down.
Jesus takes my burdens away, all the troubles of every day, every night when I pray. Jesus takes my burdens away.
We're only here just a little while. Don't let troubles take away your smile. Jesus died for you long ago, the greatest love you could ever know.
Jesus takes my burdens away, all the troubles of every day, every night when I pray. Jesus takes my burdens away. Jesus takes my burdens away, all the troubles of every day, every night when I pray. Jesus takes my burdens away.
One more time.
Jesus takes my burdens away, all the troubles of every day, every night when I pray. Jesus takes my burdens away.
Jesus takes my burdens away.
Jesus takes my burdens away.
Well, God bless you, Hank, and that's right on. Jesus takes our burdens away. And I want to tell you something, friend. There's no one that can take care of your sins and take your burdens away and your sins away except Jesus. And you're going to get a lot of the devil's got all kinds of false teachings all over the world and multiplying now in these last days. And don't listen to that. Get the Bible. Get the Bible. And the Bible tells us that there's only one way. It says, without the remission of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood and he paid for your sins, but it won't do you a bit of good until you come to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart, because that blood has to be applied, and it is applied by faith. And God can't do that for you. He can die for you. He can give his son for you, and he can shed his blood for you. But he can't make the decision for you. And right, you know, it might be right and right now you're saying, oh yeah, I hear Hank singing that. I want to be that. I want that blood to wash my sins away. You just ask Jesus and just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you just come into my heart and take my sins away, Lord. And I'll serve you the best I can. I'll live with you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And you're a child of God. And I'll see you in heaven. Won't that be something? Well, we're talking about the anchor of the soul today. And I started off, I'm going to ask a question here. And is, what do you prize the most in all of your life? Of everything you have, what do you prize the most? Is it your spouse? Is it your job? Is it your children? Is it a car, or your home, or your investments, or a position? Or what is it anyway? Well, Jesus told us what the most important possession was. We don't have to guess at it. We can know. And Jesus tells us what it is. He says, it's our precious soul, our precious soul. Jesus told us that in Matthew 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And Jesus is telling us, this soul, this precious soul, and everybody has one, given by God, but you can't get that soul to heaven unless you have Jesus. See? But the most precious thing you have is your soul, because you're going to have your body here for 70 years or so, I don't know, but you're going to have that soul forever and ever and ever. And it's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. And it's going to be decided before you die. Because after death, the judgment, and there's no changing. And so we have to urge people then to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And we have to see, excuse me, how that people, well, Jesus pointed out, he says, gain the whole world. And Jesus knows that the world glitters, and there's riches, and there's honor, and there's wealth, and there's everything on the world. Jesus said, your soul is most important. Now, why is it so important anyway? Well, I'll tell you why it's so important. It's because the soul is you. The body isn't you. The body is just the house that you live in. And the soul lives inside of that body. But the most important thing is your soul. That's what Jesus tells us. Your soul has all the emotions that you have, all your feelings, all the touch of pain, everything. And that's why a corpse has no feeling. It's only a house, and the soul is gone. You can take a corpse, and it has the muscles, and it has the nerves, and it has the brain and the spinal column, but you can't inflict any pain on that body. It's dead because the soul has all the feeling in it, and it is death simply means spirit and soul. They're together. They never separated in Scripture. Spirit and soul, but they're different, but they're to leave your body, and that's what death is. When my wife died, her spirit and her soul left her body. No noise, no lights, no nothing, just gone, see? And so Jesus is telling us is this wonderful thing about the soul. And so it's a soul is important because it's you. And then, of course, as I'm saying also, it's because it never ends. It never dies. It never ceases to exist. Some people say, oh, when you die, you just die like a dog and you're just dead and gone. There's no feeling. That's the end of everything. Well, if that was just the end of anything, then I guess it'd be all right to live the way you wanted to live. All even then, even though you wanted to live, didn't want to live the way some people do. But this soul is going to go on, and it's never going to die, and it's going to live forever in heaven or in hell. And as I said before, you're the one to decide it. Jesus set that forth very plainly when he declared in John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. And so it's talking about those that have done good. It points out that those people that know Jesus, that have accepted Jesus. Our bodies will return from the dust from whence they came. They'll lie in the dust in the earth until Jesus returns from heaven. And at that time, those bodies will be raised, just like a kernel of grain dies in the ground, and then it comes to life. And how can that be? Well, it's because it's God. And that's what God is going to do. He's going to bring us up, and he's going to bring us up from that grave. But our souls will never cease to be. They'll go beyond the grave. Our soul will be in heaven or in hell. That's what Jesus taught in John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So here it is. You believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. He that hath the Son, you have life. You don't have the Son, you have death. Now how can you write it any plainer than that? A dumb skull can understand that. And God has made it so plain and so clear. And this Lord Jesus is telling us, you be careful how you live and what you do. And God says, now these people, they have everybody's sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that is the unsaved person. We can't trust our heart. Even a Christian needs to be careful. You don't know what you might do. And so this wonderful Jesus, what's going to happen? So God says, I'll send my Son. And I'll send my Son to die for those people. I could say they've been having bulls and goats. They're sacrificing them all the Old Testament. And all it did was cover the sin. It never washed it away. In order to have a sin, it has to be somebody that is divine. Jesus then, who is God, takes upon himself a form of a man, and he has a body, and is sinless and is spotless. And then so God tells us, the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was Jesus seeking and saving? He was saving your soul and my soul and the souls of the lost. Jesus came to do a lot of things, and he did a lot of things, but the main thing he came for was to save that precious soul. Now, I want to tell you, so Jesus loved you so much, he came to pay for your soul. But let me tell you, somebody else who's interested in your soul, the devil is. The devil has your soul because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all under Satan and in his kingdom. And this glorious light of Jesus Christ shines through. And when we accept Jesus, we're translated, taken from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Call it born again, and we belong to the Lord, see? And so Satan is looking for sin. He's looking for us. You see, it all happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with the Lord, and they talked with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, and then they sinned, and that sin passed on all men. And so you're mad at Adam. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, we've all done sins just as bad as Adam or worse. Don't hide behind Adam. He tried that. He tried to hide behind Eve. God says, you'd eat of that tree of that garden, and he says, that woman that you gave me that woman. And there's the whole problem. It didn't work. God judges Adam, and he judges him harshly. And so Satan's kingdom is seen in many ways and in teachings. It's on every side of us, and he gets as many as he possibly can. The Apostle John warns us about this evilness of Satan. It's the attitude of the world. It's the world system. That's the devil's kingdom. And so John warns us in 1 John 2, verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the Father, love of the Father is not in him. And so you have to choose one or the other. And so we ask this wonderful Jesus, come into our heart and take our sins away. And when we know the Lord, we can rejoice and we can be happy because our sins are all taken away. And so now this soul, we want to talk about the anchor of the soul, the safety of the soul. Can the devil come and get it once we have our soul and it belongs to Jesus? Can he get it back from us? Can we lose it? How does it all act? Well, we're told something in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God gives us a picture then, and he says, this world system is evil, and we're all in it. And then he says, but I want you to come out of that. And I want you to live for the Lord. And I've been preaching now for 75 years. And I've seen this. I've started out and I've seen all of this going along. And it's just like Paul tells young Timothy. He says, this I know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accuser, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. That's where we're at now. And so Jesus comes, and he becomes an anchor for the soul. He makes it, listen to, he tells us about it in Hebrews 6, verses 18 to 20. He says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled from refuge to say, lay hold upon the hope set before us. That's Jesus. We're putting our faith in Jesus. Hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That hope, that Jesus, is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made for order after the order of Prince of the Melchizedek. So he talks about this. He talks about this anchor. And the word anchor is just simply a Greek and a word kind of meaning hook, something that hooks on and holds. and it has a shank and it has two sleeves and it looks like a cross, really. And so that wonderful soul goal, that wonderful anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes to the cross and he pays for that cross. And so we see the cross there. And when we come to end this at all times, and we need that anchor at all times, because in this passage, God looks at the, he makes the picture of people as ships, and they're out on the sea of life, and they're sailing, and they need that anchor to anchor that ship, you see. And there's no time a Christian can be without an anchor, a ship can be without an anchor. They just have to have an anchor. And because even if there isn't a storm, I know in storms they have to have an anchor. But even when there isn't a storm, well, then lo and behold, they have this wonderful anchor. But if in a calm time, they have to have an anchor, because underneath that calm, there are strong currents. And many a ship have been swept away, slipped away because of those strong currents. So you always need that anchor. And that means that at no time should we expose ourselves to the things of the devil, but we should hold on to God, hold on to Jesus. And that anchor of the soul keeps us steadfast and sure. That anchor is indispensable. Every ship requires one. A ship is never complete. The outfit is never completed unless it has an anchor. And the wind can be, and thus with this, so because a ship can be driven by a storm or the currents underneath, has to have that anchor. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, where we're like a ship without an anchor, they're without hope. And Paul declares that there are times when we're without God, and without God we have no hope. He talked to the Greeks, and they had the greatest culture in the world. They had refinement and idolatry and all the rest of it. But God says you have an anchor of the soul, and he says it's sure and it's steadfast. Sure and steadfast. And that talks about the anchoring ground. In some souls, the anchor will not hold. If it's thrown into sand, it'll drift and it'll be gone. And it can be lost. It has to have a good ground. And so that low our anchor, and then Jesus Christ becomes that ground. And that anchor's hold into that ground so that it'll never slip or never fail. And we can always rely upon God. And so we have a people, they call it a dragging anchor. It has no holding space. And then the anchor lying on a deck of a ship, it has no security or help. And so there are people that are trusting in themselves. It's like they are their own anchor. And I've heard people tell me, I'm a self-made man. I don't need the Lord's help. And I've heard people say, oh, I'm better than some of the members in your church. And if your church is like my church, I'm going to tell you, don't argue with them, because we do have people that slip and don't, because they're not really strong in the Lord and they do fail many times. But our anchor is in Jesus. And when we put our anchor, when we anchor in our works, or we anchor because we're better than somebody else, and or we think our own goodness, or we have our own righteousness, and he's going to take care of us and everything will be fine. And when I get to meet God, I'll tell him of all the good things I've done. I don't need Jesus. I've had people tell me, I'm good enough. I'll take my chances. One man told me, I don't have any argument with God. I'll be all right. Oh, the poor soul. They have an anchor, but it's on the deck. And they don't use it, and they don't apply it, and they don't put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this wonderful Jesus comes along, and he goes to the cross, and he pays for our sin. And that great anchor then, it grips the ground, it digs in. And you know, some anchors are weak, and they'll break. And if an anchor breaks, the ship can be lost. But Jesus is sure. Jesus is steadfast, and when you put your faith in Jesus, you never have to worry about what's coming or what might take place. And this Lord Jesus talks about being steadfast, how that is. Maybe this ship has an anchor and it's undersized. and it's cast over, and it was a dragging anchor. It can't hold it. But this Lord Jesus Christ is steadfast. He's got all that he needs, and there isn't any storm that can take him out of our life. There isn't any storm that can make our anchor drag so that we'll be lost, this wonderful Savior. That's why everything we teach and everything we do needs to be put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Savior. Said, just put a faith in the Lord. And don't be worrying about a thing, but be sure our faith is in the Lord. And those people think, oh, when I get to you, when I meet eternity, when I get to meet God, I'll tell him how good I was. I'll tell him all I gave to the church, and on and on and on. But I have a suggestion for you if that's what you're going to do. You just write that on a little slip of paper. Because when you meet God, you just can hand it to him, because you won't have a word to say. You remember the feast, and the man wouldn't wear the cloth that he should wear, the clothing. And when he got in, he says, I'm good enough, I'll wear my own clothes. And when the master saw him, the king saw him, he asked him why he was there without the garment. And you know what the man said? Oh, I did a lot of good, and I did this. You know what the man said? He was speechless. That big mouth won't work when you meet God Almighty. And this anchor of the soul is for you. It's because you and this wonderful Lord Jesus, you have to put your faith in the Lord. It has to be placed in Jesus. Nothing else will hold. Nothing else will keep. And that's why we call the anchor of the soul. We're so happy. We rejoice. And because I never have to worry. I never have to fret. I never have to fear. Somebody tells us, well, you are, how can you know for sure? You know, my grandmother, she was a dear, loved the Lord. My dear grandmother, Mary Louisa. And I tell her, Mother, Grandma, I'll see you in heaven. And she'd always say, I hope so. I hope so. I know she's in heaven because she trusted Jesus. She lived for Jesus. And I know that she's safe. But look at all of the sorrow she had and all the worrying she had. Maybe she thought something wrong and that would lose her salvation. And so when you come to Jesus, it's all in Jesus. Put all your faith in him. It's just like a man, he's on an island and he is stranded on an island. His boat is sunk and he has nothing to do, nowhere to go. And then he sees somebody, there's a little boat, there's a little canoe right near at hand lying in the water. And he gets in that canoe, and he has no paddles, and he has no sails. And it's just big enough for him to lie down in it, just exactly. He's 6 foot long, and the boat is 6'5". And so he lies down in that boat, and the tide comes in. He can't do one thing at all, nothing. But the boat raises him up and he's safe. Jesus is that boat. Put all your faith in Jesus. Don't be worrying and don't be fretting, but just give it to the Savior. And it's safe and it's secure. D.B. Towner talks about the anchor and he puts it like this. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, mildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds, below your blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, and by his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the day, and the tempest is there at this day. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast, and the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between, through the storm and safely ride till the turning of the tide. Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day, but in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. that wonderful Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you have that anchor? You have to have Jesus. And I think so many times when I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit has taken the Word of God all over the world. And He's talking to hearts, and He's talking to you right now. And there's just something in you saying, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus now. And so you pray that prayer in your own way, in your own words. It's just tell Him you're a sinner. He knows it, but He wants us to confess it. And so, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask You to come into my heart and take away my sins. And then I'll live for You the best I can. Remember this, Jesus taught repentance. And repentance means turning. You turn from the old ways. You live in the pig pen and you come and get saved and you go back to the pig pen. There's nothing to show that you're saved at all. You have to give your life to Jesus. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, because nobody's perfect. But God knows our heart. No, that's why nobody can judge me. Nobody can judge anybody else. Jesus is the judge. He knows if my heart is right. And I believe your heart is right as you ask the Lord to come into your life. And if you do, you write to us and we'll send you literature. Anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you shortwave people, just keep your pencil there. I'm going to give it again in just a minute. And if you want to get our little Bible study, you just write Bible study. This week it's on the 23rd Psalm. If you want to send a gift, then we have to have your gifts or we're going to carry on this work. For over 40 years, we've just trusted God. We're not a member of an organization or a corporation or a church or anything else. We're just a people of God spreading the Word of God. And so you write to us, and you and our people on shortwave, we cover 90% of the world. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what somebody will say. Usually the men will say, I don't know, what if he spends it on a car? What if he gets a sport car? You know, 98 years old getting a sports car. Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books and they account for every penny we get and every penny we give. And so you just write and help us in your work if you possibly can, if the Lord lays it on your heart. If you want the stove, that film, send free will offering. We'll send that. And then before we close, and we close every service we have, before we close, we want to tell you this. God loves you. God loves you so much that He gave His Son, His precious Son, and His Son went to the cross and shed His blood. And He did it gladly, we're told in Hebrews, about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He did it because He loved you that much. God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have workers now for over 40 years, most of them without any pay, volunteers, because we love you and we want you to come to Jesus. And I know I love you. And I gave my whole life to talk about that and to tell you about that. So you come. Come while you can. You can't come after you die. You have to come now. Do it right now. Just make your peace with God. Sorry for my sins. Please take them away, Jesus. And I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, we pray that You'll bless Your people everywhere. Pray that You'll lead us and guide and direct us and use us in Your service so that God will be pleased and honored in all that we say and do. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you. I'm going to be looking for you in heaven. And won't that be something?
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at christianworshiphour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.